The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone off into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For the Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you say is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but your people say there is a place of worship in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Your people worship what they do not understand, and we worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship the Spirit and truth."
Give us living water. Give us living water.
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his words, and they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. It's really nice to be here with you to celebrate our liturgy, the rite of scrutiny, and to welcome the elect in our midst, and also in some parts of the world. They call this third Sunday of Lent as the Samaritan Sunday. Why? It's very, very obvious, because that we heard a Samaritan woman asking for water. In Osaka, Mexico, I think I said it right, but I'm sorry. I made a research the other day that in this particular place in Mexico, in this particular day, women dress in their traditional shirt or dresses and give out agua. Or if you have a little money, you give horchata. I think I said it right, but if not, I'm sorry. You can Google it later what horchata is. I think it's a rice milk something. We'll find out later. And I find that tradition interesting because they're taking this reading or gospel reading literally, but yet hospitality, which is the theme of our gospel today. Let's talk about a couple of things here. In Jesus' time, a pious Jew, when they go from Galilee to Judea, the pious Jew usually avoid Samaria. Why? Because Jews cannot mingle with the Samaritans because it's half-breed. They're not Jewish. But yet, in our story today, Jesus goes through Samaritan. Purposely. He did it purposely so he'll meet those people who are outcast. And I'm going to give you this also. You heard it in our gospel reading. Why the Samaritan woman was on the well, at the well, at noontime. Usually, when you fetch water, you go in the morning or early evening. Why noon? Can someone guess? I'll give you horchata later. Fantastic. It's noon because no one is around. Because we found out in the scriptures that this woman is a sinner. Her five husbands is a sinner. like she is a sinner. So, but more so in the biblical times, the well is a social area. Abraham usually sent women to find husbands in the well area. And also women in that area can talk to each other and support one another. Jesus here also broke a rule. A rabbi, a teacher, is not supposed to talk to a Samaritan woman who is a sinner. But yet, he pushed this limit for a reason. And that is, this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, there's no judgment whatsoever. What is Jesus trying to do? Mercy is after this Samaritan woman. Pope Francis wrote a book, The Name of God is Mercy. Think about this. If God is mercy, Jesus is pursuing this woman. If we think about this in our lives, God or Jesus is pursuing us. Mercy of God is relentless. That's what I heard also from Bishop Barron, the auxiliary bishop here in LA. And he said, the mercy of God will be after you no matter what. And that's what happened. And the problem is, with this gospel, the woman was about the law. And the woman said to Jesus, after Jesus asked, give me some water. But the woman said, you're a Jew. Why are you talking to me? And you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. So the woman is into details, but yet here, Jesus is about grace. I'm not judging you. Give me water. So mercy is relentless. If the face of God or the name of God is mercy, that is hopeful for us. God pursues us. God seeks us. Who are the elects who are here with us? And their names are Jean, Juliet, Madeline, Thomas, David, Michelle, and Nicholas. They are the seekers of faith in our midst, in our church community. They seek God. They seek our community. But for us, who are born and raised Christians or Catholic, what can we give them? Can we seek them and help them to give them water? And then the other point that I want to talk about is intimacy. The conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is about intimacy. And I learned this in life. When God starts talking to you, you bet your life is changed. You're in trouble. Conversation to conversion. When God started talking to you, you better listen, because your life will be different. And that is intimacy. Saint Augustine describes this gospel as the wedding or marriage, not between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. No, the image that Saint Augustine is teaching or taught, that Jesus is the groom and the Samaritan woman is the church, the bridegroom, the marriage of Jesus and the church, and the member of the church is us. And the other point I want to talk about is, after Christ or God start talking to you, from conversation to conversion, and I love this line from Bishop Barron, and he said, no one experience God without being sent. No one experience God without being sent. From Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, St. Paul, the disciples, the experience of God is different, but the commonality, they ask Jesus or God asked them to do something. They were sent to be missionaries. They are sent to share their faith. And I think that's why we are here. We want to share our faith. And the last point I want to give you is, it's a very good image in the gospel. The woman, after this conversation with Jesus, dropped or leave the jar at the well. She went and see the other disciples and said, I found the Lord. And guess what? Leave everything here. And Jesus asked this question, and I found it very interesting. In the scholarly book, it says, Jesus asked this woman, why do you keep coming to this well every single day? Why are you coming back here in this well, fetching water, but yet you're sinning? You have shortcomings. What is God or Jesus trying to say? Leave your old self there and find a new route. And what I can read about that is, what are our routines in life that helps, that stop us from loving God? Maybe it's time for us to find new ways to love one another and to love God and look for another route. Leave our old self here, and this is what Lent is about. Leave the jar and find new ways. These are routines in life, and that's why our church invites us to look at our sins, our shortcomings, but more so, the good thing with this Lent and the good thing with our faith, Christ always invites us the grace side. So what can I give you? What I can give you and offer you this week? What are our daily routines that stops us from loving one another? And then find people around you, like the woman in the well, to accompany you through this transformation. And the last point I can give you is, can you accompany Christ to his cross? Can you or can we accompany Christ to the cross? Because we know that Christ always accompanies us. But if we reverse it, can we do it? If the answer is no, it's okay too, because Jesus has no judgment whatsoever. Whatever you need in life, whatever you're carrying through in your shoulders this week, whatever is in your mind and in your heart, let it be washed by the living water, which is Christ Jesus himself, who loves us, and mercy, compassion is in our midst. May God bless us this week.